Hey, everybody, welcome to the show, Self-Care, with my co-host, Fagla, who is coming in a moment. I'm sure she'll just waddle her way over here. Today, we're talking about, are you enabling or are you empowering, right? And so with that being said, we're going to make distinctions about what enabling is, what empowering is, how to know the difference, how to modify your behavior so that you can rise up and then the people that you serve can rise up. We have a little plot twist today. So first, my good friend, Michelle Froge, the rock star coach, she had a plot twist. So she will not be joining us today. And in her, you know, she's like that short, thin, little blonde thing, right? So she knows I say that with love. And today we have the big, brawny guy, Jeremy Freeman, who's going to support us and, you know, you, me, everybody, the universe in understanding these dynamics. So without further ado, let me bring on Jeremy Freeman. And one, two, three, here we go. Jeremy, hi.
Hey, how we doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing great. It's good to be here again.
So it's always wonderful to have you here. You know, it's always wonderful to have you here. And let me just see if I can, there we go. It's a little bit better there. I think
you're talking about big brawny. So again, you can't tell, of course, you know, with this on, but you can see right there, back there behind me. That's me, you know, a few years back, you know, back when I was actually really big and brawny.
So I hear you. Even now, you're still big and brawny. I'm just going to say, I mean, you're, you know, the average person doesn't have as much muscle as you do.
So that, I still work out, still lift weights, you know, and again, I enjoy, you know, my health and fitness. Again, I do something every day, you know, not necessarily strength training, but again, is a part of my life. It's again part of, you know, taking care of myself, part of my self-care, you know? So, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. And self-care is so important. And actually, you know, what we're talking about today about this enabling and empowering, I think that's a huge part of self-care, right?
100%.
Yeah. So, first of all, and here comes my co-host. Hold on one second, please. Come here, co-host. All right. Co-host.
Fagla.
You know what she says? She says, Mommy, before the show gets really started, could you tell them about your program? Okay. So let me just share real quick. So the, you know, I forgot I was going to do this. Let me go here. So the functional food program, as you know, teaches people really, it's different than your program. It teaches people about toxic free living. And I was called to do something kind of exciting and different. And so what I'm doing is offering people this bonus. So when you buy the functional food program, first of all, you get, you save $499 using the promo code TOXICFREE. And then you get these bonus buys. So you get a free shower head with the self-paced version. You get the EMF neutralizing plug when you buy the personal plan that comes with coaching. So you get both the shower head and the plug. And then if you do the family plan, you get the shower head, the whole house plug and the whole car plug. And so these free gifts, what? They help you live toxic free. Yay. So that's my little plug. Let me just stop sharing that. So, all right, there we go. So, and toxic free is key. And by the way, if you also want to live a high vibrational life, I'm actually going to switch our view. Conscious Flow. This is available on your site now, is it not?
It is on the site. Yeah. We just released it, you know, recently. So again, we still have more information and content to put up there. We have actually received some different testimonials from people that we need to put on there as well. Yes.
I know, so I need to do this, but you know, Spirit told me to wait And now I'm glad I did, because I really want, I wanted people to know, for me, how this showed up. Is this a good time to share about that?
Yeah, sure.
So I always use Jeremy's upgrade product, which increases the blood flow in the prefrontal cortex. And, you know, that gives me greater executive functioning, right? Which is really important when you're writing your book, which just got submitted to the publisher and the editor and all that stuff. But this took it to another level, the conscious flow. And so let me help you understand how that showed up for me. Conscious flow. There's a resonance with the divine, and there's a connectedness to the divine that allowed me, one, to access consciousness more profoundly than I've ever done before. It's interesting because I became more grounded while accessing consciousness. So, you know, earth and sky, right? Simultaneously. And it allowed me to really be present for what God had to say and what he wanted me to write and what he wanted me to share. And I think that's the most important part. You see, because we're all shards of, you know, little specks, right? Shards of God's light. And his light is in all of us. And we all have access to it. And then the question is, how do you want to access it? And what are you going to support yourself with in order to access it, right? For me, it turned out that the conscious flow was a game changer. So I've been drinking the product, took my little shot glass, right? I think it was, what, November that we got it, right?
Yeah, yeah, we were sending samples out at that time.
Yeah, so it was November. And, you know, I wrote most of the book in December when I was in Blue Ridge Mountains, and then, you know, just finished the manuscript today, so... so that take like 4 months. Yow.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but you know, Jody, it's great because, you know, we're all of us, everybody wants to be more connected to something greater than ourselves, you know, and of course, probably most of the people that are viewing this or watching this, you know, they understand that that greater power is within us, and that there's certain times when we feel more connected with it. You know, for me, again, I always say, don't give those first 2 hours of your day away, because that's you time. That's the time for you to connect, you know, with that greater power. And for me, I every day I get up and I do my rituals, my things that make me feel more connected to God. Okay. To be more connected to the creative power of the universe. And so I say creative power of the universe because it's the power that animates, penetrates, and motivates the entire cosmos. Everything we see has been created, okay, through our creative faculty, which is thought, how we think. You know, the things we think and how we think dictates every sound our body does. But on top of that, thought is creative. Okay, we know this because if we look around and we see everything we see, doesn't matter what it is, somebody thought of it. Okay, that idea, and made it into an idea, put it on a piece of paper and created it. Okay, just like conscious flow. It's something that's created. But what happens is we don't, you know, you always hear that you've heard the saying, God speaks to the quiet mind. And that's why we find times where we feel more connected, because our mind is quiet. Okay, we feel more connected and we feel like, okay, something is speaking through us or out of us, or we're connected with it, all those things. But what happens is we are in a world with so much noise, so many toxins, so many things that are disrupting the way we think, how we think, excitotoxins, you name it, all these different things that now what they're doing is they're putting the blood that's in our brain back into the limbic portion of our brain. Okay. Back in the back portion, which essentially is your stress center. So when you
basal are ganglia too, right? I mean, like the basal ganglia is back.
Yes. So essentially what's happening is when the blood is in the limbic portion of the brain, that's where most people are living. Okay. And you always hear people saying, you know, we're all one. You know, we're all in the mind of God. We are a piece of the Almighty, and we're all one. But the thing is that we can never see oneness. We can never see the connection to all, okay, when the blood's back here, because the only thing that matters is you, your own persona, your own identity, your own intellect. All those things are the only thing that matters to you, saving yourself, okay, because you're in that simulated state of stress when the blood is in the limbic portion of the brain. So when you're trying to save yourself, the only thing that does matter is you, saving you. And so that's when we're end up being, you know, reactive to things rather than proactive. Okay, so what this product does is it takes us out of that reactive, you know, stress center, and it puts the blood right here in the front part of the brain, where the blood usually is when we get out of bed in the morning, where it's quiet, our mind is quiet. Again, God speaks to the quiet mind. Okay, not the one.
I've never heard of that before.
Yes, it's all over the place. And so that's what my products are about. They're about helping you connect, helping you plug in, because we're unplugged. Okay. The number one ingredient, okay, and most addictive ingredient that's consumed by the world is sugar. Sugar, number one. Number one consumed.
It does not quiet the mind.
It does not quiet the mind. It's an excitotoxin. Yeah. Okay. And then the second most consumed ingredient is caffeine. Okay. An extreme excitotoxin, but also put your body into a simulated state of stress, pushing the blood directly to the limbic part of the brain, where you're now in a chronic state of stress. People are living in this chronic state of stress, okay, and giving their thoughts, their mind away, okay, giving their ability to think clearly away, giving their ability to create, which is why we're here, away. We're not doing what we came here for. We feel most alive when we're using our thought and our creative faculties, okay, and we're creating, bringing out the best that's within us. We can't do that when the blood is back here. We can only do that when the blood is here. Okay.
Let me add to that, if I could, because what Jeremy is saying is, you know, sugar and caffeine, basically a recipe for lack of success, right? But most of that stuff also has like the, you know, your coffee has mold in it and it has chemicals in it. And a lot of those chemicals can be heavy metals, right? So now enter in electrosmog, right? Like your 5G towers, the computers that we're on, the cell phones and all this stuff. And that's connecting with your brain. Now what?
Exactly. More fog, more cloudiness. You know, more, I can't get out of my own way because I can't think clearly. We've all had times where we've been in this space where we are like, oh my goodness, I'm connected to something greater. Okay. You've all been in this space where we're like, oh my goodness, I wish I could feel like this all the time. Okay. It's when the fog is cleared. It's when things all of a sudden seem to come into focus. Okay. And it's not, you know, disorganized chaos that we see out in the world that's in our mind, where our mind's going all over the place and we can't focus on one. So essentially, that's what this product is made for. It's to help us have conscious flow. Upgrade is to help upgrade your consciousness, your thought process, to help you bring the blood from the limbic part of the brain to the prefrontal cortex. Okay, they call this the God Center. The God Center, because God is the creator of all. Okay, and our connection to God is through thought. We're the only animal that can think, okay, and create with thought. Okay, again,
She's going to argue with you on that.
Yes, but she can't write a book.
No, okay? she can't. Although she does.
She can't build a cage. No. She can think. I'm not saying she can't think, but she cannot create. She can't decide to, you know, put a blueprint down and say, this is the house I want to live in.
Absolutely cannot. But I will tell you this. She is my co-creator. Co-creator is my God, but she's a co-creator with me, because as I'm writing, her and Tinkerbell are sending me messages. So they give me information for the book. So you're right though. They can't write, they can't build.
Yeah, there's no creation without you.
Yeah.
By themselves, they will not. Only with you, they can. Okay. You use them as inspiration. So essentially, yes, our job here on this planet is to empower. It is to empower It is to build up. And the only way we can empower is when we take back our mind. Okay. Take back our power. That's what empower is to take back the power, because we're giving it away. We give it away to the sugar. Okay. We give it away to the sugar and the addiction that's caused by it. Okay. And that right there steals our mind. It steals our ability to think clearly. And it puts the blood in the back part of the brain, not in the part of the brain that's creative. Okay. We are all creators here to create. And most people aren't creating at all. They're just going through their day. Okay. Day by day, not knowing why they're here or what they're doing, because they're in a simulated state of stress, just trying to save themselves. Okay. And trying to figure out and feeling unfulfilled. Listen, exactly. Jody, you feel fulfilled right now because of the fact that you just created something amazing, something significant, something that you know is going to help humanity.
Like you're a contributor to the book.
Yes, but it's your story. It's your creation. It's you who have taken the time to dial in and use your ability to think, your ability to focus, your ability to concentrate. Those are all creative faculties, and dial it in to putting in something into something that's meaningful. Listen, all of us have thoughts. All of us have ideas. You know, they come at us all day long, but how many can actually take the time, focus enough to put it into something meaningful that'll make a difference for other people? That's what you did.
And I want to say that I could not have done that without the community that's serving me, right? So there's yourself, there's my husband, there's the people who show up for this podcast. They're all my teachers and my supporters. Like if my husband wasn't doing what he was doing, I wouldn't be able to take off the time to do this. So I want to go to this term though, enabling versus empowering, because I know we're going to spend more time on how do we empower others and ourselves more importantly, but like the term enabler, should we talk about that for a minute here?
Sure. Yes.
Okay. So someone who persistently behaves in enabling ways, justifying or indirectly supporting someone else's potentially harmful behavior. So making excuses for them, doing their job for them so that they don't get into trouble. They're saying here it can include alcohol or substance abuse, you know, most definitely. But I'm really talking today, we're not going to go down. I mean, we can, I suppose, the alcohol and addictive behaviors. But it's really about being a stand for what you believe in and not supporting a poor behavior or not rewarding a poor behavior, right? And to quote my really good friend, Jeremy, behaviors never lie, right? Right. She's so funny. So the thing is what, you know, and if, you know, we have people on different platforms watching the show. And so I would ask you, if you are watching the show, where do you see yourself, if you want to share, enabling others to, or rewarding a poor behavior? Is it at work? Is it at home? Like with a family member? Is it a child? Is it a spouse? You know, because we can do these things in all different areas. And then, you know, we become resentful of the person when they're demonstrating a behavior like this. She's like, "Mommy, I'm going to demonstrate a behavior that you've been enabling for a very long time." So this is little taco. Okay. So how are we supporting a behavior that we really don't endorse? Right. And you have a lot of clients that you work with. Why don't you share a story, Jeremy, about, you know, of course, without using names, of someone who was, you know, enabling someone else, and how you may have coached them into helping themselves modify their behavior, because we have to modify our behavior, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Listen, if you're a parent, okay, if you're a coach, if you're a teacher, if you're any of those things, then you've enabled. Okay. It's hard not to. The bottom line is, if you're a parent, you know, you want the best for your child. So like, do it like this, you know, let me do that for you. Let me show you. And so, you know, a lot of times what we're doing is we're, rather than helping somebody do it for themselves or giving them, you know, the space to be able to think for themselves and do something. A lot of times we feel like, you know, we need to do it ourselves. And again, if you own your own business, it's huge in business. And of course I do business coaching and leadership coaching. So in business, a lot of times, you know, business owners have this mentality that if it's going to be done right, I have to do it myself, which is the exact opposite. Of course, I've been there. Listen, I've done it over and over again.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So I'm so excited. So yes, that was me. I mean, that was me.
Me too.
So what I learned, that once I finally let go and I started letting people really show up like with their gifts,
yes.
I got something better.
Yes.
Better than what I could have imagined. And I'm going to give a shout out to my assistant, Chris Galvano in the Philippines. She's flipping amazing, right? And with her, I just had this sense of real confidence that, like, if I just let her do what she does, like, I would get like something way better than I could expect it. So the gift, when we choose to let go of trying to control every little thing, is we get the so this, let's say someone's inspired by you, right? I'm sure there's many people that are inspired by you, Jeremy, and they're going to show you off in a way that you
want to.
Yeah,
I need to show you. Yes. Again, then, they want to say, hey, I matter too. Like, or if they know your message, they want you to say, you know, that everybody wants to be, you know, seen, heard, and acknowledged. And so you have to step back.
Next week's show.
Step back. Yeah. Step back and say, let me hear it. Let me hear what you have to say. Let me see it. You know, again, that's, as leaders, a lot of times that's a hard thing for us to do. Again, as business owners, same thing. And so I definitely had to learn that. And that's how, again, I became a great leader in my business, was essentially I had to step back, stop thinking that I knew the best way. See, my dad was that guy. He was the guy that I know how to do it the best way. That here's exactly how to do it. Don't do it any other way than this, you know, and then come back to me and I'll tell you the next thing you need to do and how to do it. And so essentially, you know, that's old style leadership. But again, it doesn't allow the person to gain the confidence, okay, to think for themselves. There's a statistic out there that says that somebody's IQ doubles. It doubles when you give them ability to, when you ask them to do something and tell them that you trust them, trust that they can do it themselves. When you do that, their IQ automatically doubles, and their ability to think of what to do and how to do it and how to be creative in what they're doing, it doubles, because you told them, I believe you can do it. Okay. Come up with something great. And then again, essentially it's expectation. Okay. When you have something that needs to get done, but then you say, oh, I'll do it myself. You literally took away expectation. You made them feel like, you know, and then you enabled them because you did it. You took it off their plate, made it easier for them. But now they didn't have to grow because they didn't have to challenge themselves. They didn't. Instead, if you say, listen, I trust you. Okay, I'm going to give you the opportunity to stand up, to gain confidence by doing it yourself and thinking for yourself, okay, and using your own mind to make this the way you would, you know, and that's where we have problems. In business, as parents, you know, as teachers, we want to, people are coming to us for answers and for solutions. And right. So we just keep giving it. We keep giving it. And sometimes when we're giving it, it's enabling. And we have to step back and say, hold up a minute. You know, and I find myself doing this a lot. I'm like, what do you think? I think you have the answer already.
Well, and I finally learned how to do that, because out of the womb, okay. and you're laughing, but I'm going to tell you, it's so true. So, and I'm adding followers on the page that we're broadcasting on. So pardon my eyes being over here. Here we go. There we go. So out of the womb, the phrase was, I'll do it myself. So yeah. I remember my grandfather, Zadie, we're in Highland Park. I'm on the couch in the living room. There's a big picture over the couch, and it's tilted, And I'm like, and I want to fix the picture. Now I'm like, you know, this tall, right? Right. Cause I'm like 3 or 4 and I'm like, no, I'll do it myself. And that's been my phrase. I mean, that's been my phrase forever. And it's so disempowering people. I'm going to tell you this as someone who disempowered others. Okay. Mm-hmm. I did.
We've all been there.
Okay. I disempowered people because I asked them to do it. They didn't do it in what I thought was the time frame. I whip in there and do it for them. I'm cutting them off at the knees.
Yes.
Right? You cut people off at the knees when you are not giving them the space to do what you've asked them to do. So, and I'm just doing the follower thing here. Sorry.
No, so look, I'll just add to that. I'll just add to that because, again, I've been in the same situation, obviously, because, you know, number one, with my upbringing with my dad, you know, that's the same way I was. Let me show you how to do it the right way because, you know, my dad showed me and now I know. And so now I'm going to show you, you know, but essentially, you know, I had to really let go of that and start to, instead of that, just give expectation. Ooh. And expectation is very simple. Listen, you know, this is the task at hand. Our mission is this. Okay. So the mission always has expectation in it. It always, you know, hopefully has a higher standard in it as well. So again, we want things done with excellence. So if you can express the mission, you can express, you know, the outcome that you're looking for. This is the outcome I'm looking for. And then from there, say, you know, tell them you do trust them. Listen, I trust with your experience. You know, your experience is different than mine. So I'm excited to see what you can come up with, you know. And so, you know, and again, if it doesn't align with the mission, doesn't align with what we're looking for, then we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it and then we can build on it. You know, it's kind of like you always say, Jody, yes, and, yes, and. You know, as leaders, sometimes we're like, nope, that's not right. Do it this way. You know what I mean? So essentially we come into the idea that, listen, yes, and is the proper way because we sometimes as leaders and again, wanting to get things done quickly and efficiently, we again, because if we've done it before, we sometimes know the way. So do it like this. That's how my dad was. But the bottom line is if we want to empower, then we have to let people use their creative faculties. We have to use thought. Empowerment essentially is using your mind, taking your power back, using thought in the proper way so that you can build your confidence, be confident. You know, you don't build it without using it. Okay. You have to use your mind. You have to do something new. Okay. When you do something new and you do well, it builds confidence. You know, if we do everything for our children all the time, they don't have the ability to take that to build their own confidence. And then they start saying, well, you're going to do it because you always do. Okay. And then they'll just start putting it off on you and they won't get better. And you're like, why? Well, you're enabling them.
Yeah. And it's a learned behavior, right? Yeah. So I call that, there's a term for that where they learn that if they fail, someone else will do it. So they purposely do a bad job.
Oh, yes.
As a way to avoid responsibility.
Yes.
Anybody got somebody in their life like that? Because I used to.
Yes.
This one.
Absolutely.
No. So it's really interesting. And we really rob people of the opportunity to grow. Like you said, that IQ, right?
Yes.
Skyrockets. So let's just kind of create a short list of enabling behaviors, right? Like things that people enable, right? So the housework, they do a bad job. So, you know, a parent or somebody else has to come in and do it for them. Okay. She's got a message. Where else are you? All right. What does she want me to, what enabling behavior? Really? But you do it all the time. Okay. And I do this too. She says, talking over people. I know I do that. I get excited. So I'm going to make a distinction. So there's people who talk over other people consistently as a way to avoid listening And then there's the people, and I think that's where you and I fit in. Sometimes you and I talk over each other, but it's because we get so flippin' excited.
Yeah. We're always in a space where the idea comes and we like, we got to get it out because the next idea is coming right behind it, you know, and something it's an idea that you have and you're like, oh, let me add to that. So, you know, it's like building, it's building blocks. And so when you have those building blocks of thoughts, ideas, you know, coming in that we can build on, that builds excitement. So yes, a lot of times, you know, I find myself talking over sometimes and I apologize if I do that here.
Me too. We both do, because yes, you and I were in a positive way electric, yes, right? So we get those neurons wiring and firing together, and I think they're connected, like, yes, from mine to yours. And you know, so we're kind of like birds. And I don't know if you've ever been, other than in my house, you know, with a group of birds. But birds, naturally, they all talk at the same time, right? And they do that because they're really talking in 5D. So it's just like normal, you know. But for us humans, sometimes we have to pause and listen. What other enabling behaviors, Taco, do you want to share with others that you think could be like a thing?
Well, I think probably the number one, enabling, or not necessarily enabling, well, we usually enable, okay? And so disempowering is something that we do to ourselves, you know? So yes, essentially when we enable somebody, like for instance, let's say for instance, somebody's not doing something that they should be doing or that they could be doing to be able to be better. Okay. Or else we give them a task to do and they didn't do it great. And they come up with an excuse. They come up with a justification. Well, you know, again, one of the things that we often do is we will feed the justification. We'll feed the excuse, you know, because there's like, well, this is why. Oh, okay. Yeah. I understand that. You know, this happened to me before too. We feed excuses. We feed justifications. So essentially, usually when somebody is giving you an excuse, a justification, or maybe their own legitimate idea of a reason, they've lowered their standards and they're asking you to lower your standards too. Okay. Essentially, listen, we know this real easy. Let's say, for instance, I've helped people get in shape for years and years and years and going on a diet. Okay. So essentially, you know, like Project 42. Project 42 is a great example because for 42 days, you're 100% on, you're doing the exercise, you're doing the meals, everything. But then day 43, what happens is, okay, I'm out of my routine. All of a sudden I'm doing all these things, but then day 43, I'm just going to take a break. Okay. I'm going to take a break because I just work so hard. I deserve it. You know, and here's my justification excuse for why I'm not going to eat clean today. I really want that piece of pizza because I haven't had it in 42 days. And you know what? I haven't drinking alcohol either. So tonight's going to be a party, you know? So essentially we justify the alcohol, the pizza or whatever it is, the food that we've missed because we already did these things. And is it okay? Yeah, it's okay to do, but it's the first step to making a justification or an excuse for why we're doing something that doesn't serve us. It doesn't serve.
Sorry, I'm not going to agree with you. So I don't think it's okay. So I think it's okay if you have pizza, okay, and you break, let's say you have a wheat pizza versus, or, you know, flour pizza versus a cauliflower pizza. I'm more of a fan of eating a veggie pizza, but that's just me. And not that I'm vegetarian. I just like cauliflower pizza. And I think it's healthier and it goes down better and it's, you know, processes better my body. But there's no excuse, in my opinion, that I'll ever endorse for putting a toxin in your body. Once you know that there are toxins in your food supply and in your water supply, don't be that hungry. Pack something, you know, bring your upgrade to fuel your brain, bring a power snack of some sort, bring apples, bring oranges. You know, it takes a nanosecond to go into the refrigerator and grab something and bring it to support yourself on the go. There is no excuse. That, I mean, I'm so glad you brought it up because I wasn't even thinking about that. But I mean, I gave up for 5 years caffeine, and I still don't have, well, I do have I have a sliver of caffeine because sometimes I have a piece of chocolate for grounding, like a square from Hue. You're familiar with them.
Yeah.
So it's, it's an antioxidant. It's good for you. It doesn't have cane sugar. It's got coconut sugar. It's actually nutrition and it has a little bit of caffeine. So that's the caffeine that I'm getting occasionally, but I gave up caffeine for 5 years. I gave up sugar permanently, right? Like, cane sugar permanently. I gave up, what else was there? There was a gluten. I gave up gluten for 5 years. Now, this was until I reversed all those food sensitivities using frequency medicine. And so when you know that your brain's not going to function when you eat that, whatever that thing is, I'm sorry. There's no excuse. If you want to cheat, so to speak, and need a pause and want to have potato chips, at least make them organic so you're not killing yourself or poisoning yourself at the same time.
Right.
Right. I mean, that's where I'm at. Like, there is.
No, exactly. And everybody's at different levels, but you're right. Exactly. So essentially, your standard, again, when we make justifications, excuses, and reasons, mm-hmm. we know that our standards have dropped. Okay. Your standard is, up here. So essentially, because you understand and know, okay, that what you, that putting those things in your body does not serve you.
Not at all.
So essentially, again, if somebody's, we always know that we're lowering our standards and we're disempowering ourselves when we come up with an excuse, a justification, or reason for why we're doing something that does not serve us. And so essentially.
Yeah. Well, let me take you to my grad school days. So I'm in grad school. It's 2015 because I graduated in 2016. I've got my last year there. And one of my professors, I told my professor that I wasn't able to meet the deadline for the assignment. And that's an excuse. And I told him why. Because at the time I hadn't figured out what foods were making me sick. Okay. And because in addition to I think by that time I already stopped eating toxic foods, meaning chemically poisoned, but I was eating organic, but I didn't know that I had food sensitivities that are causing inflammation and knocked me out cold, right? So if you're one of those people, call me because I can reverse that. But the thing is that what he said to me, his name is Manish, he said, Jody, I'm going to give you an extension one time only. He said, when you get into the real world again, he says, there's not an employer on the planet that's going to agree to this. He said, so you have to basically tell me to put my big girl panties on. Right. And I thought about it and I thought, yeah, Jody, you're being an excuse making machine. Right.
Yeah.
And so he said, whatever assignment that you have, work ahead of time, get it done a week in advance. So if you do have a thing, in my case, a food sensitivity, you don't have to worry about being late because the real world is not going to accept it. And I said, thank you. I got it done. Never did it again. Always got things done about 10 days in advance. And that's how I roll now, because someone gave me grace and spoke straight to me and said, this is a one-time thing. Learn your lesson or get a real lesson in the real world.
Yeah, exactly. And that's just it. Again, when the conversation comes up with our kids, with the people we're working with our clients, it doesn't really matter. Essentially, we can't go down the road of solidifying the justification. We can't go down the road of adding to the justification or the excuse. And that's what we do in conversation. Most people will do that. And so when we do that, we continue to disempower or to enable because it allows the person to continue to make that next excuse or a larger one or a better one because, it caught them off the hook now. And so for you, you had that great example in school that said, oh, somebody actually had a conversation. Okay. Mm-hmm. What is the learning experience out of this? Okay. This is what happened. Maybe it didn't turn out the way you wanted to. Here's your justification. Okay. But what did you learn? You know, or did you learn? Maybe you didn't. Okay. But the bottom line is it has to be, you know, what happens is if we sit there and just criticize, then the guard's up automatically. If somebody does something wrong, we just criticize what's happening. We downplay it and make them feel less than, they're never going to listen. So instead we have to, you know, discuss what there is to learn and how they can do it better. That's exactly what your teacher did. And that's powerful, you know, and again, and you learn from that. And then again, you know, a lot of us are quick learners. Some of us aren't, you know, and from there, you again, started to, empower yourself.
So, yeah, I want to share something that thank you, first of all. I want to share something that my psychologist gave me. So I was also seeing Dr. Michelle Kukla, who's one of the advocates for the functional food program. And you probably see on the screen here, desk. And it's probably hard for some people to read this, but it's a PDF. It's desk. To make your difficult conversations more effective. And this came out of Yale University, okay? And DESC.
Yes.
You're familiar. So describe, express, specify, and consequences. And so what Manish did for me is he described the behavior or situations completely and objectively as possible, just the facts. He took the story out of it. He expressed his feelings and thoughts about the behavior, you know, using I statements, and then specified the behavior that he preferred to happen. And he was very clear about those consequences, wasn't he?
So. Yes, that's powerful. You should definitely put that right there because I've read that before, and it is. It's such a great learning and communication tool. It really is. And so for somebody
to put it in here is a link. So if you guys are watching this,
perfect. You know.
And it's a great tool to use when having these crucial conversations with people. And I want to say that when you're enabling or, you know, versus empowering, I'm getting there. my co-host, right? it is a boundary, isn't it? When we're talking about enabling people, we're also talking about boundaries. Because when we enable people, we're letting people cross over our boundaries, and then the result is resentment or retaliation. You want to speak to that?
Oh, I tell you, Jody.
I think I just hit a chord.
Listen, most people will see enabling a lot of times is love. And that's the justification excuse we give for enabling. For instance, with money. Okay, I've been the one in my family that's always done well. I've always been the one that's succeeded and had extra. And so, you know, when that happens, of course, your family is there and I was always there helping, okay, loving, giving. And don't get me wrong, we, you know, giving, helping, and loving when needed it's what we're supposed to do. But we have to watch that what we're doing is not enabling. And I definitely in that area became an enabler to the point where, you know, certain people, a number of them actually, were depending on me because I enabled them. Okay,
remember this conversation in Orlando with you.
Yes, exactly. And so essentially what happens is they start to have now expectation, their own expectation instead of gratitude. They expect you to take care of the issue. When something comes up and there's money that's needed, you're going to take care of it. Well, you know, you had before. Why not now? You know what I mean? So essentially you've enabled them rather than enable them because of the fact that you've helped them over and over again. And now they're depending on you. Okay. And expecting it from you. Whereas you've never helped them to stop and think for themselves and say, hey, how can I thrive? How can I create more income? How can I, put myself out there to, to be able to pay for these things. You know, essentially, you know, listen, we don't have a money problem. We have an idea problem. And so again, you're taking away somebody's power. Their thought process has to be activated. Their ideas have to activate, and you have to do something with them to be able to flourish, for us to be able to create something that brings us more financial gain. And so when you give somebody that money or that help over and over and over again, that we call love, mm-hmm. you know, that is enabling. And I did it over and over and over again until I had to.
And you are so not alone.
I right? know. It's so true.
So here's the thing. My dad did that until he learned not to, right? Because he had to work for everything since he was a child. His dad was not around.
And when you cut that off, just not to interrupt real quick, you're demonized. When he stopped doing that, when he stopped giving that money, when he stopped helping like you were, you know, for whatever reason, now you're like, you know, you're the angel, but now you're the devil.
I'm with you. So there's, I'm not going to go into who, but I'm just going to say that there's a person, whether they're related or not, they kind of are. she's like, funny, so funny. And this person went to another person in the family repeatedly for money, because one had money, one did not. And one spent money, one earned money. Right?
Yeah.
And that person who kept on being a resource for the person who was spending money started to say no. And that person, and I'm not using male or female on purpose because I don't want any, like, you know, so the person who said no did become demonized. They're not a help. Now, I won't lie. There are times where I think that the person who had money probably should have helped one person, meaning my mother, because she gave him life. Oops. So, really didn't mean to do that, but the point is that she gave this person life, right? And so on her deathbed, she needed money. Like, you just need to say yes to that and look the other way. But I think that if there's an extenuating circumstance and it's like once in a lifetime, whatever, that's okay. But if someone's repeatedly making has that same behavior or that same lesson coming up, and they're not able to think for themselves about how they can either not spend money or earn it or whatever, like, that's a thing. Like, you need to, money's a big thing, people. Like, I know a lot of people, I have family, not family. I've got stories of the yin yang about this. Go ahead. You were going to say.
Well, again, you had mentioned before about boundaries. Mm-hmm. And so essentially, listen, it's not them. It's us.
Yes.
Okay? It's not, you know, the people that I've enabled, you know, I've enabled. I've helped, you know, again, I say behavior never lies. Well, I helped them create that behavior because I kept giving. I kept, you know, caring, loving, whatever I want to call it. You know, the bottom line is it still is enabling because it's not allowing them to empower themselves, to step up and do what they need to do to be able to rise above and have what they need to have to be able to flourish. Okay. So again, they're never going to flourish if I always just keep giving, and they don't have to work to flourish. They don't have to think more. They don't have to do more. Okay. Essentially, it's like the socialist system. Essentially, if I just keep giving you money and keep pouring it at you, then you're going to sit down and, you know, sleep in until 10 and then watch TV. I don't have to do anything. There's no expectation for me to do anything. And I'm just going to keep taking. And, you know, why would I want to get up and actually go out and work if somebody's just going to keep taking care of me? It doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work at all. And I want to bring some caveats to this. You know, when I was disabled, you know, I received help from the government, of course, right? But as soon as I was able, I called the government and got off of disability.
Yes. Those things are there for us for a reason. You know, the people get sucked into it sometimes and become enabled. You know, this is what happened during COVID. You know, so many people were making more money not working than they were working, or maybe even a little bit less than they were working. But listen, now that all their time is their own, they don't have to give their time, energy, and effort away to somebody else. They can stay home, maybe get a little bit less money, and do what they want to do when they want to do it, however they want to
make money into the table, right? Yes.
You know, again, this is kind of off the topic, but
it's really not off the topic. It's exactly on topic.
Yeah.
Can we go into the identity with that? Because a lot of people, they're self-enabling. Look, I'll use myself as an example because I didn't do it, but I could tell you what I could have done, right? Well, that's not true. I did both. So for two decades, my identity was I'm bipolar. I didn't say I had bipolar disorder. I said, I am bipolar. I labeled myself the way that the medical community labeled me.
Yeah, you took the Lord's name in vain.
Right? Mislabeled, but nonetheless. Now, I go on disability. Of course, I learned truth. I don't have any of these diseases or mental health conditions. I was just being poisoned to death. Ooh, imagine that. So then I start, and this is why that chapter is so important in my book, Words Are Just Vibrations in the Air. I started listening to my language and my word choice, right? And I am not bipolar. I was misdiagnosed having bipolar disorder and given a label, which I now release, right? And so if I wanted to stay in the old space, right? Then I would have used the identity to leverage free money from the government or to leverage attention from people or leverage fill in the blank, right? Yeah. And so here's the thing, whatever your issue is, you are not your issue. Right? You take off that label and instead of enabling yourself with that label, empower yourself with, I'm releasing fill in the blank, right? And empower yourself with, you know, my body's a master healing machine. Look, and it's easy to fall into this. Jeremy was out here in October. And when we were building the labyrinth in our backyard. And a month prior to that, like a month and a half prior to that, I had the chicken pox. Yeah. and I couldn't figure out what it was. And Jeremy looks at my legs and goes, well, it looks like chicken pox to me. Right? Remember that? Nasty. And so the thing is that energy, that sluggishness, that lack of everything that comes with not being your best self, what a person can fall back into that and self-enable and disempower the self, right? Yeah. And so I could have done that, and God threw me so many opportunities to do it, the dark side gave me those opportunities to fall into an old pattern. And I just spent months with a new pattern. So, and making sure that I didn't have anything. So that would allow me to be, you know, less than my best self. There is a, you have this thing, it's lasting confidence, right?
Yes.
And so, tell us, because I think this kind of coincides with what we're talking about. Would you agree?
It does to some degree. You know, a lot of people are surprised that I'm involved with you know, lasting confidence. And but, you know, because of the fact that it's a weight loss, you know, I've been involved with weight loss for years, but essentially it's semaglutide. And you know, semaglutide is really powerful. It helps with behavior modification. It helps people to overcome addiction. It's helping. There's so many different studies out there that are showing that it's helping people with a massive inflammatory response. Okay, decreasing inflammation. So, you know, my background is biochemistry. So understanding that this product here is essentially a simple, very simple peptide. It's a peptide. It's a peptide that the pharmaceutical companies have taken and now made it a prescribed drug. Okay. It's like taking a supplement, making a prescription drug now so that they can control the market and mark it up to some extraordinary cost that people can barely afford. You know, they're charging $1,500 a month for this product that is essentially.
Really?
Yes.
I had no idea.
And so they're charging $1,500 a month, okay, for people to take, like I say, Ozempic. You know, some people can get it for $900, but essentially, this product is amazing, okay, and it has so many different benefits, okay. It's helping people overcome depression. It's helping them, you know, decrease their inflammatory response. My wife, being one of those people, she had massive issues after getting the COVID shot, okay. And ended up having massive inflammatory response to the point where she went from, you know, being 48 to like 70 or 80 years old with like arthritis, could barely walk. This is one of the only things that actually helped her decrease that inflammation. Of course, when she was so inflamed, her body, she started gaining weight. She'd never had problems with weight before. She gained about 45 pounds. She was able to take all that weight off, decrease her inflammation, increase her sense of well-being, increase her confidence, feel good in her clothes. And so taking this product has really helped her and a lot of my other clients too. And
can
so
you tell me what's in this semi-glutide? Because I'm interested and really fully understand.
Yes.
Because you know that when I got the, you know, there were two things that hit me in terms of weight. And, if, you know, I think I've mentioned this. One was the electromagnetic frequencies. I gained 50 pounds and I lost 25 of it. But then there's this last 25 that's like really making my life, you know, miserable. So I'm interested in learning what that looks like.
Yeah. So listen, I'm again, biochemistry is my background. So I can break things down to the biochemical level. I can tell you that, you know, the carbon structure, I mean, that would make people's eyes glaze over. The bottom line is that this is simply a peptide. A peptide is just a string of amino acids that create a certain results in the body. And so I've been into peptides for years, and, you know, and peptides kind of lay right between supplementation, you know, it right here in the middle, and pharmaceuticals. So again, it's kind of like that gray area. Nobody really knows what to do with them. But again, peptides are one of those things that have helped people immensely in health and well-being to help overcome so many different issues. So this is essentially
it's an amino acid. And I know the power of amino acids because I take N-acetylcysteine, I mean, daily for a variety of things that I'm not allowed to mention online. But let me ask you this. Is this an injection or
is it an injection?
Okay.
It is an injection. Yeah. So essentially, again, the best way for your body to utilize this is the injectable form. They do have an oral form too, but then you're taking a larger amount of it. Okay. And what happens is it gets destroyed in the GI tract. So it doesn't have, it's not as effective. So with taking just
because those enzymes are breaking it down. Is that
yes.
Okay.
You got it. Exactly. It ends up causing disassociation and starts to break it down and it's still effective, but you'd have to take a lot more of it, you know? So in the injectable form, you can take it one time a week. It's a small shot one time a week. And it just has so many incredible benefits. Listen, I the reason why I endorse it is because of the fact that my wife, who, you know, I love and cherish, you know, she went from, you know, again, I had to literally wait on her hand and foot because of the inflammation and the issues she had after that COVID shot. And so, again, listen, it doesn't happen to everybody, but to her it did. And so this is the one, I had her taking NAC, D-ribose, all these things to help increase for her energy, alpha lipoic acid, you name it, so many different things. And some things helped a little bit here and there. I was having her take other peptides like BPC-157, and they call it the Wolverine hormone because of the fact that it helps your body's healing process. You know, I've taken that myself before because it helps with healing recovery. And so this right here has so many benefits. You're going to find that a lot of people will look at it and say, oh, you know, this, like for me, I've done the Project 42 program where it's like exercise, eating clean. It's like putting all, you know, your mindset, goal attainment, all these things into one, you know, arena and going full force, you know. But the bottom line is this product right here it helps with automatic behavioral modification. If you have all that food noise going on in your mind, we're like, oh my God, I you know, we our minds you know, we want them to be powerful, but a lot of times when you have food noise, it's like you start cleaning up your diet. You're like, oh, I can't have that. Well, our human nature is to want what we can't have. So like, oh man, you start revolving. You walked into this, you know, bakery and you smell that bread. And you're like, oh my God, your mouth's watering, but you're like, I can't have it. So again, just changing our thinking. Number one, that I can have anything. I just choose not to. That, you know, takes away this part of the psychological issue. But again, we end up having food noise because there's certain things that we're saying that that we can't have, or that we're not allowed to have. This takes away that food noise. People that have cravings for sugar, chips, alcohol, all of a sudden it's like, I don't even want it. It doesn't even appeal to me. And it happens so quick. So it helps with that behavior modification that people are looking for.
I know that N-acetylcysteine, which is an amino acid, helps with addictions. Through Amen clinics. So do amino acids, generally speaking, help with addictions and addictive behaviors?
Amino acids, they trigger. They're triggers, okay, in our body to create something make something happen in your body. For instance, growth hormone triggers your body to produce new healthy cells. Okay. So almost every trigger in our body is a protein or a peptide that is triggering it. For instance, let's say our thymus gland. Our thymus gland becomes inactive after puberty. Okay. But up until puberty, our body is producing thymusin, which helps, you know, create more stem cells, immune cells. It helps our body keep our body strong and recover, and so that we bounce back quicker. So again, we're almost invincible before puberty because of the fact that our body recovers so quickly from things. Okay. And the reason being is because our body produces thymusin. So one of the peptides that's out there is called TB, okay, 500, which essentially is thymusin beta 500. And that, again, essentially is a peptide that reactivates our thymus gland to help start producing thymusin again. Okay. It's like the fountain of youth.
Got it.
And so yes, those proteins trigger a certain result in our body, and that's how our body does work. And so peptides, we've been using them for years. I mean, when people are taking L-glutamine helps, you know, so that you can recover quicker as well. It helps so that protein synthesis can take place. Okay. Protein synthesis is happening constantly in our bodies because it's a combination of our amino acids, 20 amino acids that have to create the full complete protein to be able to create new healthy cells and to strengthen our overall system. Okay. So this is not a science lesson. Again, this is not about empowerment. No,
basically the peptides are they're the building blocks of those proteins is what people I think need to understand. Is that right?
Yes.
And so that's how this can help. And how can, let me just show people how they can, connect with you outside of what we just showed them. Let me just go here real quick. So I did not see the Conscious Flow on the website, by the way.
It's on Freeman Formula. Oh, yeah. it might not be on that part of it. I think you have to actually type in the search Conscious Flow.
Okay.
Brand new. I think we just put up, we haven't even done everything to there.
Yay. Look at that. Okay. Yes.
It's still there's still a lot more that needs to be put on there for that product. It's again just new up there. Yeah.
And then Conscious Flow is amazing, of course. So is Upgrade. If you want to get in touch with Jeremy, I would connect to Jeremy through his website or any other way that Jeremy you would like for people to connect with you. Or
yeah, I mean, you go to my socials. All my socials. I have a team that works those for me. So again, if you reach out to me there, they'll send it over to me so I can respond. But again, just Jeremy Freeman. Jeremy spelled with an A, Jeremy Freeman. And so again, you can find me on any of those. And of course, on the website, you can always email me too at jeremy@freemanformula.com.
Yeah. And then, I represent your products. I'm always excited to
Yes. do that. And thank you for that.
Oh yeah. We, the Upgrade is so amazing. So if anybody's looking to is the code still working? The Jody
15? Still working. Yes. Yes. So, Jody 15.
Mm-hmm. And you can go to Susan Essentials or just go straight to, here, I'll just show you guys where that's at. I have on my nutrition page, let me just go here for supplements and vitamins. Let me just go here. So I talk about the brands that I love to use. There's only four people, only four. Yeah, discernment is an important thing. So let me just do this. So let me just go down here. So we have a Freeman formula, and you go all the way down here, and we talk about how it works. It's really, you know, and then to upgrade your brain, just use the discount code Jody15, okay? And or just go straight to his website and use Jody15. So, and I just, you know, I know we're kind of over time by 4 minutes here, and I want to thank you so very much for pivoting and joining the show, sharing your wisdom. You are such a gift to this world, and I'm excited not only to have you here again, but to also have you part of my book, which is Emotional Healing, Toxic Free Living, and to have you share about how words are just vibrations in the world, you know, in the air. So, and I do want to just show people the book real quick. So so people know it is now in pre-sale mode. And if I can find this on my own website, that's good. Here we go. Here we go. So let me just do that share. I'm not doing this correctly. So stop share and then share screen again. And so this is the book. And so I want to tell you that it's on sale for $19 from $22.22. I will tell you that what I'm doing is I'm taking a portion of the proceeds of every single sale, actually, proceeds or not proceeds, that will go towards specific organization. One organization is The Truth About Cancer. The other one is the Association or Alliance of Natural Health, the Environmental Working Group, and the Organic Consumers Association. Those four organizations have been instrumental in my reclamation of my health. And so that's the very least that I can do to give back. So if you're ready to pre-order, please feel free to go ahead and do that today. Like I said, we're going to print in less than a month, I guess. Less than a month. The editor and the publisher have it, and we're ready to go. So, and, there's your link. So anything else you want to add to this before we, say a bit our adieus or?
No, I actually, well, the reason I was looking down is I was actually purchasing your book right now. So,
thank you. Thank you.
I want to be one of the first people to buy it. So again, I'm getting on here and purchasing right now. But Jody, it's always such a pleasure. You know that we don't always talk, a lot, you know, there's gaps in between, but you know, it's always such a pleasure whenever we connect. Your energy is just infectious, and you're just your light. I mean, you're a beautiful soul, and I just love you. And I'm excited to see that with this, you know, what comes about with this book and the information you're bringing to the world. And again, just keep doing what you're doing. I know that you bring light to so many people, and it's great to know you and to be a part of your process.
So I'm going to cry and I'll just say, thank you because I'll go into the blubber.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeremy.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. I love you too. My husband loves you. Everyone who's ever met you loves you.
I don't know about that, but okay.
Well, anybody in my circles who's met you. We all have people that don't love us. Is that right, Mary?
There's nothing wrong with that.
You know, I get it. I get it. Especially when we're the ones who tell them the truth. Like, oops. All right. So, thank you. And next week, is what, the 9th, right?
Yes.
So let's just see who's on. So it's kind of what you were talking about. Next week, we have Dr. J.R. Heise on here, and we're talking about being seen and not heard.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
it's a big thing, is it not? Where people have been conditioned to be seen and not heard as kids. And then they get into the workplace and get into their school and then the workplace, and nobody's using their voice and nobody's getting what they need to have done because you got trained as a kid to be seen and not heard. It doesn't work.
No. Yes.
All right. So let me just run the end of the show and hold on for a second with me, and we'll let this go. Hold on.